He had a close friend who was his
age.
Good evening, and welcome to Wisdom Walk here on Black Hole Radio. I am your host and guide, Jojapa Maria Ensaroma. December is the third and final fire month of the year, and it closes out this nature year of radical and magical change. During this month of transition and transformation from where we've been to where we are going, the energies of truth, honesty, and authenticity will light our way forward. My theme for this month has been endings and beginnings. For the past 2 weeks, I did rebroadcast of two of what I considered my best broadcast, two of my best broadcasts during 2018. And tonight, I want to present to you the fourth of five of the broadcasts for this month. This is now my Christmas, my Spirit of Christmas broadcast. And my title is, "Tis the Season to be Loving." la 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 la. Now, for those of you who may be listening in for the first time, let me give you a brief overview of this program. Wisdom Walk is a personal development resource for your mind, body, and soul. My ministry is any pain that is not transformed will be transferred. So the essential goal of my shows is to support listeners with learning how to recognize and release any pain that is blocking fulfillment in life, or what I like to call having your happy endings in life. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific time, I broadcast live unless I'm on hiatus or want to play some replays for you. And in addition to listening through your computer or other gadgets that access the internet, you may listen to the live broadcast and or call into the program at area code 563-999-3089. Again, that's 563-999-3089. Also, I'd like to bring to your attention the web link provided on my Facebook page, Wisdom Walk Radio, or you may receive it in a constant contact email. That serves as an archive link when the show is complete. So if you're unable to listen live, you can listen later. But right now, I invite you to sit or lay back and join me for an exploration of the inner landscape where we can connect to our soul and discover the true treasure of being human. Well, it's time to honor the ancestors. And for today, which is the day before Christmas Eve, I wanted to honor those ancestors who knew how to keep Christmas well. And I include in this, of course, Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and any other holiday that is happening around this time of year in whatever tradition or spiritual belief that you hold. But the focus here is that, you know, holidays are very, very important in the scheme of socialization and human interaction and community building and family. And it really is a time to set aside the normal comings and goings, and to really put a focus on something important that everybody can agree with. And so I want to honor those ancestors that really, really got that. I was very, very fortunate and blessed to grow up in a family that got that. Christmas time for us was a time when people became normal. They became functional. Like, it was important. Like, today would have been a day of, like, baking going on and things being brought into the dining room table that just became like just a feast table. There were candies and cookies and cakes and pies and, oh my God, all kinds of things. It was just crazy. But it was that important because my grandmother and grandfather, growing up in their childhood, they didn't have happy Christmases. And I also struggled with raising my mom and her five other siblings. And so me and my brother and sister and my other cousins were like really kind of, you know, that opportunity for them to say, hey, we're going to pull out all the stops. And so I really was around people who knew how to keep Christmas well. It wasn't just about the food or the gifting, but it was this atmosphere of love and support and happiness, and there was a real focus on us as children. Like, this was important. We were important, and we knew it. We knew that. And so I want you to take a moment and think about the people in your life who may no longer be here, who are now ancestors, and who knew that, understood that, went out of their way to make sure that a Christmas or a Hanukkah, Kwanzaa holiday was just really, really done well. And it always helps to speak their names alive. And we are going to call on them right now to come and help all of us this year keep this holiday season well. So ancestors, we are calling out to you, those who knew and understood the importance of holy days, of holidays, who really, really understood the importance of children and family and home and friends and sharing and gifting and loving. It's such an important opportunity for people to open their hearts and to share their hearts. And so we ask you and thank you for coming into our lives and reminding us of this and helping us make this happen. Although there can be a lot of emotional stress at this time, very much connected to money, very much connected to just that it's the end of the year, we ask that you give us the courage and the strength and the willingness, help us have the willingness to overcome that stress and those obstacles, to just be able to be present to this wonderful, wonderful time of year, the season of joy and peace. And so, ancestors, we thank you. Creator, we thank you for the ancestors. And Creator, I ask you for all of these blessings in the name of all that is holy. I say amen. Ashe aho atzashi kabizilan. So it is. I really do just love this time of year. And again, as I said, because I was very fortunate to grow up in a household that really honored that, that it was an important time, it was an important season, and that we as children were important. And so it was a time we look forward to, and we just really, me and my brother and sister and cousins had lots and lots of fun during this time of the year. So I'm going to talk about some of the elemental wisdom that's going on right now. This is the last Monday as the first day of the week. When 2019 comes around, it's going to shift over to Tuesday. So this Monday, the 24th, will begin a mineral week, and that will stretch all the way until the 31st, to the last day of the year. And the opportunity for this week, this last week of 2018, it's very synchronistic because we're moving away from a nature year into a mineral year. And so this is a mineral week. And the opportunity is about remembering purpose. It's about allowing the power of love to remind you of who you truly are, what you really want to do, have, and be in your life. This is about following your heart and soul and taking the necessary risk to experience your true power and uniqueness. So how cool is that, that we end the year with the energy that we're stepping into the new year with? Like, it's just so amazing and cool. So here are some distractions that can show up this week, and you really want to be aware of these and stay away from it and say no to it when it does show up. One is choosing to stay in confusion, because when we get confused, it's not like we chose to be confused, but if we stay in confusion, we're really choosing to do that. And we can get out of confusion by asking for help and asking to learn something new. We have to change up our minds when confusion strikes. So just check yourself. Don't stay in confusion. Get the clarity. Call on support for the clarity that you need. Engaging in melodramas. Again, this is a very emotional, really laden time of year, and it's very easy to get involved in other people's stuff. But don't do that to yourself. Avoid it. The only person you need to be in charge of is you. The only person you need to be concerned about right now is you, because if you take care of yourself, focus on you, focus on your stuff, then you'll be in a better position to be of service to others. And if people are going through their melodramas, you don't have to engage in it. You can just, you know, if you're a friend, you just listen say, you know, just hold a little space. But, you know, when they get tired of it, they'll let it go. But don't take it on. Don't engage. Next distraction is taking on problems and challenges that you can tackle, but which are not for you to do because they're not in alignment with your higher purpose. What does this mean? What this means is if you're walking down the road and there's a mountain in front of you and you are just an expert mountain climber, and you're like, wow, I could really climb that mountain. But you're supposed to be on your way to grandma's house. You know, yeah, you could climb that mountain, but you got a purpose that you need to do. There's something you need to do. There's something you need to deliver. There's something else that you really need to take care of. And so don't be distracted by just the fact that you could take on a challenge, that means you're supposed to do it. No. Stay in alignment with what it is that is your higher purpose that you are being called to right now. And the last two distractions are fear of failure and procrastination. And it's interesting because when we're afraid to fail, sometimes when we're afraid to succeed, it's like we'll start to procrastinate. We're like, just come up with all kinds of excuses and situations that say, no, I can't do that right now. But that's a distraction. So when you become conscious that you're stuck, you feel like you're not moving forward, again, ask for help. Ask for help. Call on those ancestors, call on your angels, your God, whatever, and just say, you know, help remove this fear from me and help me move forward. Again, moving out of confusion. So next week on Tuesday, January the 1st, next week on Tuesday, wow, it's, again, the time is going so fast. Like next week begins the new year. So yes, on Tuesday, January the 1st, we will begin a water week for the first week of the new mineral year 2019. And, of course, I will tell you about that in my broadcast on January 30th. Now, for a little astrological information, we just experienced a very powerful winter solstice and full moon that was in a sign of Cancer. And Cancer as a full moon, that's the moon in its her astrological house. You know, those two get along very well. It's like its house. So what that meant basically is that the emotions were really, really up. And that happened just yesterday. We had that full moon. And, of course, the solstice was on Friday, on the 21st. So, you know, again, it's just that time of year where there's change, it's transition, and it's hard. It's a lot of emotional stuff that can be going on. Things are coming to an end. For a lot of people right now, it's about moving. You know, your lease is up, and it's time to go to a new home, so they're in the process of moving. For some people, it is about the end of a job. You know, the job has ended. For some, it could be the end of a relationship. You know, there's all those kinds of things going on. So it's real easy to get caught up in and feeling overwhelmed by the emotion. But the best thing to do is to acknowledge it and make a commitment to yourself to take care of yourself. Drink lots of water, get more rest than you think you need. And my favorite thing to do in the whole world is to put on a good movie. And there's so many wonderful holiday movies out that it's easy to find something that's going to touch your heart, like The Polar Express or It's a Wonderful Life or A Christmas Story, you know, on and on and on. But definitely, you know, just take some time to chill. This is really a holiday season. It's a time for us to really take a break, take a rest, and take care of ourselves. And having a full moon right here at the end of the year is also a time for us to envision something new and something big. So know that too, that we can take this time to think about and dream something new into our lives, and to make it big, meaning go beyond our set limitations of what we believe is possible, and go beyond that and really, really dream big. So know that, again, if something's coming to an end, that really means that something is about to begin. So holding that in mind hopefully will be of good service to you during this season, because it can be challenging. So, my Christmas broadcast, you know, I believe that the Christmas holiday is very, very significant, not in just a religious way, but in a spiritual way, because it is a time where a message of a new beginning, a new hope, a new opportunity, you know, that's the religious energy of it. It's that, you know, that hallelujah. But it translates into, because we're here at the end of the year, to really be a time for opening up ourselves to the love of the universe and to feel that love first for ourselves, but also to share it with others. And so tonight I want to talk about and riff on three things. I don't have my regular scripting out that I do. I usually block things out, and mostly for time's sake, I want to make sure that I say what I need to say within the hour, within the time that I'm given. But tonight I thought I'd be a little more risque and just kind of I have three points that I want to make, or three things I want to talk about, and just to share that, and I'll keep my eye on the clock and see how it goes. But these are things that are important to me, and I thought it would also be of service and of interest to you within the context, 'tis the season to be loving, and why that's important. So I'm going to start with sharing this quote that I found from a woman who was born in 1904. She died in 1985, and she was an artist and a writer, and her family owned a, I forget what kind of company it is, but interesting that they own this company. But her quote became very famous and was used a lot in Christmas cards and, you know. And the quote says, "What is Christmas? It is tenderness for the past, courage for the present, hope for the future." And I think that is just so lovely, like just such a lovely, lovely statement. Very simple, to the point, and just a lovely statement. And just the truth about what this season, what this the energetic of this holiday is. Tenderness for the past, courage for the present, and hope for the future. So wonderful. So we're living in a time in the world. It's not just about the United States, but definitely we're living in a time in the world when things seem to be upside down. I was reading in the news and somebody was saying something about, or maybe it was on somebody's blog, but they were talking about that Donald Trump has made enemies of America's international friends, and he's made friends with America's typical traditional enemies. And, you know, so there's this upside down thing that is happening. And there's also several places around the globe where, you know, governments are forgetting that people matter, that truth matters, that, you know, human rights matter, and what that really means. And so it's a really interesting time because we would think that by now, in the year 2018, after 100 years ago, having had the end of the First World War, which of course led to the Second World War, but we would think after all of that, you know, a time when you had, you know, villages and towns and cities destroyed by, you know, this kind of upside down thinking. You'd think that we would have gotten past that as a human species, but it seems like we haven't. And so what that says to me is, especially adults have some really big work to do on learning how to love themselves. I've been reading recently about children in the Congo in Africa who are working in cobalt mines. And cobalt is one of the materials that's essential for the technological conveniences that we in Western culture and other developed nations, technologically developed nations, use for cell phones, for computers, for cars. And, you know, it's very much what's going on in the Congo is very much a scene of the beginnings of industrialism. Like if you know the history, like back in England when it began and in Great Britain and also over here. And, you know, coal was the big material that was needed for the steam engine to keep the trains going and to keep the new electricity stuff going. And so children were working in these coal mines and dying. I never forget, I met a woman on a train many, many years ago. I took a train from New York to a college in Pennsylvania. And I was talking to this young woman, and she was telling me a little bit about her family, my family history. And she said that her father was the survivor of the family because he was the one that they chose to not go work in the coal mines. They said, one of us is going to live and go get education. And, you know, and that was her father. And that was, you know, her story. And, you know, it's like that's what's being repeated in the Congo. And, you know, there's argument that I read, you know, I was watching YouTube videos and in the state in the comments, someone was saying, oh, you all who say this is bad don't understand. If they're not working in these mines, they'll starve because they're taking care of people or they're contributing to the family. You know, like this is just the way it is. And my response to that is, you know, working in a cobalt mine under the conditions that they're working, they are dying anyway. So why? You know, the argument for that's just the way it is so that they can eat and stay alive doesn't really make a lot of sense. And so you think about that, like what is really going on? And this is just one example of how we are making excuses for children, especially living and working in these kinds of conditions. And, you know, all the big companies that benefit from these children's labor are all saying, oh, no, we're putting in regulations, and, oh, we don't use the cobalt from there, and this and that, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, it's, you know, if you really want to make a difference, then you're going to have to create a social service system, and you're going to really get on the government or help that government say no to child labor. You know, here in the United States, child labor laws really just came into effect in the 1930s. You know, Judy Garland, when she was making The Wizard of Oz, they could keep her awake all night, give her downers, let her sleep, and then give her uppers so that she could be awake. I mean, you know, that was 1938, 39. So it hasn't been that long, even for us, to recognize that children are not disposable, that it's not okay to benefit off of children's suffering. So you think about it and you think, you know, like, why is that? Why do we keep recreating this? What's going on? And, you know, on the one hand, there is our school system that puts more emphasis on getting good grades than learning how to be loving and kind and learning what your purpose is. You know, so we have a whole system that really promotes this notion of disposable people. And so there's lots of things that really need to shift, that need to shift. We've got to really get it that it's not okay to, you know, have children working in cobalt mines and other kinds of horrendous things that children are involved in, like the street children in Colombia, that kind of thing. And even here, it's just not okay. So how do, you know, what can we do to shift that? What can shift that? And I believe that what can shift it is the shift in adults. Because to me, the fact that children are suffering like that, you know, it's like a story out of Dickens, you know, it's like the story of A Christmas Carol, you know, and what Charles Dickens himself personally went through, too, as a child laborer. You're like, why do we keep holding on to that? And I believe it's because we still are not loving ourselves unconditionally, inside out, enough. We still are not loving ourselves. We still are believing that putting our time and energy into building our careers and doing the survival thing in a technologically advanced period in human history, that we take on building, you know, these things and chasing a career and making all this money to the detriment of learning how to love ourselves, of learning how to honor ourselves, to feel good about ourselves from the inside out. So we're not giving ourselves enough time to really, really love ourselves. Because when you love yourself, when you really love yourself, when you're not trying to be something that you don't need to be, that you're not chasing after the wrong kind of attention, when you really love yourself, then you honor children. Then you're able to honor children. And so we need more people really getting that, really, really getting that. You know, in the story of A Christmas Carol, one of the most powerful parts of the book, and it was done well in some of the movies too, the version of the movie I like the best, which is called Scrooge. But it's when Ebenezer Scrooge is visited by the ghost of Christmas present. And, you know, he gives him the milk of human kindness to drink, and they kind of play around, and he gets to see his nephew having fun and his party and, you know, what's going on at Bob Cratchit's house, you know. And then when he's almost done with his visit with Scrooge, He opens up his robes, and underneath there are two little scraggly children. And he says, and I'll quote what's in the book. It says, "The girl is want, the boy is ignorance. Beware them both and all of their degree, but most of all, beware this boy, for on his brow I see that written which is doom, unless the writing be erased." And it's just so powerful because it's basically saying, like, if we are not taking care of the children, there's going to be consequences. It's not going to be a good day. There's going to be consequences. And again, you can't take care of the children if you're not taking care of yourself, if you're not loving yourself, if you're not liking yourself. So this is my first Christmas wish, my first Christmas prayer, is that for everyone who's listening, is that you really take a block of time over this holiday week or week and a half, however much time you might have off for vacation or whatever. But just during this time, because it is such an important time, just take some time to really ask yourself, do you love yourself? Ask yourself that. Stand in the mirror and look at yourself on the outside and ask yourself, do you love what you see? Ask yourself how you feel inside of yourself. Are you a person that you would want to be around? What about yourself don't you like and love, and why? Why is that? Take some time to really contemplate where you need to work on loving yourself. And that's really something you can then roll into your annual commitment for 2019. I'm going to commit to learn how to love myself deeply and unconditionally and share that with others and watch it transform my life, because it will really do that. You know, we're in a culture that has conditioned us to think more about what's wrong with us than what's right with us. So when I'm talking about loving yourself, I'm talking about that you spend more time in your day focusing on what's right about you versus what's wrong about you. And that what's right about you hasn't anything to do with your physical features or anything material, you know. So it ain't about what you're looking like, how your nails are, how your hair is, you know, is your tie straight, you know, do you got muscles, you know, do you look like one of those superheroes? You know? No, it's not. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about is right with you. Are you living in shame over something that happened 20 years ago that you can't let go of or don't know how to let go of? Are you feeling like you're not enough because you're comparing yourself to other people around you? Are you afraid that you're going to lose your job to somebody who's smarter or more skilled? Are you angry about something that somebody did or said to you, and it still is bothering you? You're still holding on to it. Because when you got that kind of thing going on, you ain't right. You know, you ain't right. What's right about you is when you are feeling good about your past, your present, and your future. that in your past, whatever may have gone on, whatever may have happened, that you are able to do your forgiveness work. You're able to integrate it into your life. You're able to say, yeah, I was in a very abusive relationship, but I'm not now. And I am grateful, even though it was painful, I'm grateful because I got to see how I'm walking the family wound or how I'm repeating what I grew up with. You know, I mean, this is the kind of stuff. If you get to that level of consciousness, you know, then you're on the right track because you can, yeah, this was bad in the past, but right now I'm good. I am good. And I know now how not to put myself back into the same situation because I'm doing my work. I am doing my work on myself. I am loving myself. I am learning how to do that every day. And it really is a continuous learning process. It's not an event, you know, or you achieve something, something wonderful happens. It's like, oh, now I can love myself. No, it doesn't work that way. Is becoming conscious of and being willing to take on transforming your emotional pain. Not transferring it, you know, which is what is happening. Back to my example about the children in the Congo. That's a transference of pain that those children are in those mines dying to, you know, get what little money that they're being paid, because you know it's a little money, so that they can have a little something to eat and have a little bit of a roof over their head. That's a transference of pain on the part of every adult that is involved with that industry. Every company that benefits from that, like Apple, like Tesla, like, you know, gone on and on and on and on. That's just a transference of pain. And you can't transform pain at that level, you know, because this is like, you know, a level where, you know, people are indirectly affected. You can't transfer and transform, I mean, that pain until you have worked on your own individual stuff. Got to work on your stuff. And you know what I'm talking about. This is, you know, you got to go to school to understand that you got pain that needs to be transformed. You have to go to school for that. This is something as human beings, we are born knowing. What's happened is we have been supported in going into denial about it. We've been supported into sedating it away. Tell you, I'm out here in California, and I saw this advertisement for marijuana, and it was this poster of a beautiful woman, and it's advertising, like, we will deliver this to your home, right? And she's got this white bag in her hand, and she's got this little simple smile on her face, and it's like, okay, everything's going to be all right now because your marijuana was delivered to you. And I'm just thinking, you know, like, what is going on? Really? Really? That's going to make everything okay? Like, come on. You know, so this promotion of sedation, that's what's going to make you okay, make you good, make you better, make you right, make you love yourself. It's all a lie. It's an advertisement gig. Yeah, Madison Avenue at its best and worst. It's not true. When you sedate your pain, you can't work on it. So, doing your work. It will benefit not just you, but everyone around you. Everyone around you will benefit. And, you know, children, older people, elders, people who have disabilities, physical challenges, even mental health challenges, these are all the people it's easy to dump pain onto. very easy to dump paint on these people. And got to know as a human species that we are at a point now in our development where we can take responsibility for transforming our pain. We don't have to blame our mamas and daddies, our grandmama, grandfather, God, the angel, whatever. Like, you don't have to waste your time doing that, because you can blame all the people you want. You still got to do your work. You're not going to get out of it. Blaming someone does not release you from your emotional pain. Blaming someone is called transferring pain, not transforming it. Transforming the pain is where you have to become conscious of it, and you have to really be open to taking it on. And again, one of the most powerful tools in the transformation of pain is going to be forgiveness and gratitude. Forgiveness and gratitude. And that's just not going to change this cosmic law. You're going to have to forgive yourself, forgive somebody else, and open up to having the perspective of gratitude for whatever has shown up for you, because it's designed to grow you, to heal you, to evolve you. Forgiveness and gratitude. Yeah. So that's my second Christmas wish. My second prayer for Christmas is that you're able to take on, that you have the courage to ask for the grace of forgiveness for whatever in your life you are still holding on to with shame and blame and anger and annoyance and upset and disruption, that you're able to step into calling on that grace. Lord, enable me to receive your grace of forgiveness for, and just fill in the blank. That's the ask and you shall receive thing that's in the Bible that Jesus said. You know, ask and you shall receive. You got to ask for it. And again, if you're sedated to your pain, you won't even be able to ask, because you won't be accepting that. Oh, wait, I am in pain. This does not feel good. And thirdly, I want to just talk about the importance of peacemaking. And, you know, that's what all of this leads to. When you are able to accept that you've got to love yourself unconditionally from the inside out, and to do that, you've got to take on transforming that pain, not transferring it. The consequence has to do with peacemaking. You should not have any villains in your life. I'll repeat that. You should not have any villains in your life if you are right with yourself and you're loving yourself. Because a villain is someone who's done something to you. They've made you this. They did that to you. They did that, you know. And that means you're a victim. Okay? Victims don't get to fulfillment and happy endings in life. Okay? They don't. No. And all of the great stories in the world are about people who may start off as victims, end up letting go of victimhood because they get rid of their villain. They just, like, let it go. To let it go with love is a most powerful, powerful way to do it. So this is my next Christmas wish for all of you listening. If there is anyone in your life that you feel is against you, is jealous of you, has betrayed you, has treated you inappropriately, you know, has done something to you, doesn't like you, is out to get you, could be a boss, could be a spouse, could be a child. I know people are victimized by their children. I want you to know that you do not have to continue to be caught up in that melodrama, in that trap. You can get yourself freed up from being a victim to life. You can become a victor in life. You can become the star of your story. But you can't do it if you ain't loving yourself, you're not doing your work to transform your pain. You're not going to get there. But you can get there, and you need to get there, because, oh my God, I could talk for hours about the consequences of being a victim. I know it for myself personally. Everything I'm saying to you, believe me, I know. And when I finally woke up to how I was believing that it was okay for me to be a victim in life, that it was okay for me to have people who were doing things to me, out to get me, you know, when I realized that, I was like, oh my God, this is, no, this is not how I want to roll through life. I do not want this. And I made a commitment, and I took on making a shift away from being a victim. Now, does that mean that I don't experience victimizing experiences? No, I do. You know, and I get mugged going outside my door in a minute. The difference is when you believe that you're not a victim, you don't stay up in that story. You don't stay, you know, downtrodden or entitled. You know, you get it like, okay, this happened. Now let me open up to learning, first of all, what do I need to do so that I integrate this experience and I don't take on responsibility for what I'm not responsible for? How do I use this experience to help me learn where inside of myself am I believing I deserve to be treated in this way? And that's how you begin to shift it, to turn it over. So, there you have it. My Christmas wishes. The wish that you love yourself from the inside out, deeply and completely and unconditionally, that you let go of thinking that the physical world, the material world, is the truth of who you are, that you step inside of yourself where the gold really is, where the kingdom really is, and that you really, really take care of that and learn how to use that. And also that you take on the work to transform your pain through forgiveness and gratitude initially, and just work it, work it, work it. Ask every day, you know, Creator, enable me to forgive, to receive your grace of forgiveness. And then, of course, last but not least, to really, really, really believe that you can make peace with whoever or whatever you believe was against you. And that it's not about trying to change them. It's about changing yourself, changing how what you're believing about yourself, that you are not here on this earth to be a victim. You're here to be a victor. And your victim experience is just to grow you into becoming the best version of yourself. Well, I've come to the end of tonight's broadcast. And I want to take a moment to do my thank yous, first of all, to my engineer, Miss Yvette Parker, who actually was having to get onto a New York City bus. Technology, right? And she's able to hook it up, even though she's on New York City bus. So, Yvette, thank you so much for going out of your way to make sure that my broadcast about 'Tis the Season to Be Loving could go out there. And to another member of the Black Hole Be Well family, Brother Jason, happy birthday to you. It's his birthday today. And to everyone involved in this enterprise to make sure that I can broadcast every Sunday. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I also want to shout out to all my regular listeners, Miss Sarah, who demonstrates that transforming pain and learning to love yourself unconditionally can result in joy-filled longevity. Joy-filled longevity. Did you hear that? That's what's the important thing there, you know. So I'm telling you, Miss Sarah, she gets it, and she teaches it every day. To all of those who have wisdom walk with me, and you know who you are, to my family and spiritual kin, my transformational leadership colleagues, my medicine brothers and sisters all around the world, and those who are listening in maybe for the first time, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. I could not do this without your listenership. Next Sunday, December 30th, I will conclude my 2018 broadcast with my annual New Year's message for 2019, as we are going into a mineral year supported by water. That's going to be really, really, it's going to be an amazing, amazing year. Lots of stuff happening and coming up. I have lots to talk about. Don't forget my Facebook page, Wisdom Walk Radio. You can also check out Black Hole Radio's Facebook page. And but not least, I want to wish everyone who celebrates Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or all of them to just have a very, very, very happy and safe and loving holy holidays, to really embrace your family and friends, to be present to them, to just focus on the love. It's the most important thing. I do believe in and am a follower of Jesus Christ, so it's a very spiritually powerful time of year for me. I love all of the stories of Away in the Manger and the Three Kings following the star. You know, I just totally get into all of that. Just really, really love it. And so it's a really, really powerful time for me and a wonderful time for me to be sending out prayers to everyone in need around the world, especially, again, those children in the Congo. And, again, there are other scenarios for children that they shouldn't be in around the world. I'm just focusing on this one in Congo right now. But it is representative of the fact that we've got some work to do, folks. We've got some work to do to really learn how to love ourselves so that children don't have to be in these kinds of positions. So I'd like to thank my God, my ancestors, my spirit guides and loving entities, everything that walks with me, keeps my head to the sky, my feet to the ground, and my heart open to do this important work with and for all of you. Have a beautiful, joy-filled, peaceful, loving week. And remember, please remember, you are not disposable. You are divine. Good night now.
I hope you enjoy Convergence, and thanks again for sharing this part of your lives with us. It's been a real pleasure.